Hey everybody, this is Gil Gran. You're listening to the Music's Journey Show with my friend Kim Sear.
I was feeling uneven, set the goal right off the deep end again. Everybody telling me slow down and learn just when to say when. My on and off relationship was all but sinking out at sea. Here life was unbalanced and as always I couldn't find any harmony. Now I'm centered, smack that down the middle. Not too much or too little, centered in a love for you. Well, I'm centered.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single, Centered, by multi-award winning country artist Gil Grand. Sudbury's own Grammy Award winner, country artist Gil Grand, is one of the most undeniable country voices in Canadian country music. An artist that started his journey in the 90s with hits like Famous First Words, Cry a Little, and Run. Gil Grand is an 8-time Canadian Country Music Award nominee and CCMA Male Artist of the Year and Record Producer of the Year winner. His debut album, Famous First Words, produced a number one single along with several top tens, gaining Grand the momentum to release two more award-winning projects. Gil Grand moved back to Nashville from Canada in 2007, and shortly thereafter, his co-owned music publishing company, Grand and Gee Music, taken home Song of the Year award for his participation as the producer on Chris Young's number one hit, Tomorrow, and a Grammy for God and My Girlfriends, recorded by Reba McEntire. Here to talk about his brand new single, the Music City Rollin' Jamboree, and a new venture plus touring here in Canada is multi-award winning country artist Gil Grand. It's great to have you on the show, Gil.
I'm happy to be on the show.
It has been way too long.
Right? Well, I haven't done it in forever, so yeah.
I haven't seen you. Gosh. Oh, man, it's been quite a few years now. But we miss you out here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I need to come back out that way.
Yes, you do. Sure. Yes, you do. Yeah. We just have to do some convincing during this interview, right?
Do what?
I just have to do some convincing during this interview.
That's it. Yeah. Make me commit to something.
I will.
Like, yeah.
It is so cool. Just, I am so excited that you got a brand new single out. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Can we talk about your career first and just go through a little bit of that, of course, because we can't miss that.
Definitely.
All righty. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about what's happening with you since the pandemic hit and how that might have changed your outlook to what success looked like when you started your career and to what it looks like today.
How the pandemic may have affected it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. So, I mean, like everybody else, you know, during the pandemic when everybody was shut down, you know, it meant nobody was touring. Nobody was really, you know, was able to perform or anything. So I was in Nashville and, you know, I spent most of my time, you know, one thing that really wasn't affected negatively was the amount of time that people had to write songs or record
mm-hmm.
new projects. And in Nashville was crazy in that time, you know, and because everyone couldn't get out anywhere. So they really took advantage of, you know, writing new material, and artists were in the studio recording 2 and 3, you know, projects in the can to have and everything for that, you know, for when that things opened up and everything, that they wouldn't have to, you know, get off the road to do that, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it's pretty interesting. That was really, really taking off. And so one of the things that I have been doing, you know, since 2011 is I have a company in Nashville called Nashville Song Plugger that is a plugging business where we represent songwriters and we pitch their music to major label and indie labels, some of them A&R people, and to record producers and to artists directly also, if we know, you know, whoever it is that's looking and stuff. So we try to place music for songwriters. And so that, fortunately for me, you know, that business was really thriving during pandemic, just for what I was saying, for those reasons and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really fortunate to not be completely shut down like you know, a lot of my friends and a lot of other people who depended solely on touring and being out there. So, yeah, so I mean, the only negative, you know, well, one of the negative things was I wasn't able to visit, you know, family and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A lot like
your
other
grandchild
people,
and,
you know. My kids and my grandkids are out in Alberta, and my mom and dad, you know, I hadn't seen them literally for 2 years. I went just not that long ago. And so it was really, gosh,
wow.
It was so hard. But yeah, and so yeah, but you know, it just, I guess it just, you know, puts everything in a different light and kind of, you know, makes things that everyone took for granted, you know, more important. And you just, it now really appreciate it. As you can tell, everybody's out playing and touring like full on, and everyone's seems to be, you know, happy, for lack of a better word.
Oh, definitely.
We're all happy now. Yeah.
There's nothing like live music, and it just brings a peace, you know, to so many people.
Yeah.
We all gravitate to music when we're going through hard times and good times, and you know, music's just a staple in our life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Did you find? I know you were doing some writing too, I think, over that time as well. Did you find that you went a little deeper because of everything that was going on?
Not really. I'm not really a deep person, so it didn't really. I'm not. You know what? It's funny. That's a good question, because you know there are writers and artists who really connect emotionally with their music and
mm-hmm.
they write how they feel and they express themselves through their songs and music and stuff like that. I've just never been that kind of a writer. For me, I love the creative process. I like, you know, just the hang and getting together with someone and just kind of talking about what you're going to write and then just kind of working on stuff. So it's everything I've ever written was completely fabricated. It's just like,
wow.
You know, in a sense where we
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really just like, hey, here's a good idea. Let's write a story about it. Let's, you know, find a great melody and we write a song. And like, I really haven't written anything that's personal to me. The only song I ever wrote really is She'll Always Be Mine, which is a song that I wrote specifically for my daughter's wedding. Yeah, so it was her wedding. It was her wedding song. So that's really the only time that I dug down to write something, you know, that was personal to me. Yeah,
didn't know that. Here, I thought you would, you know, because I know so many of the writers that I've had on, so many of the artists have been talking about going through a real block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going through that transition because they're just on fire all the time. They're doing writes all the time. Then they're doing the radio tours and then getting out there and performing that project live for the fans. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know how to get that inspiration, that fire.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I guess so.
Yeah. So
everybody is affected differently, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've been busy.
Yeah.
It's an understatement.
I mean, I know, right? I mean, are you supposed to slow down at some point? Because nobody told me when that's supposed to happen. But I feel like I'm definitely busier now than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know what, to be honest, I think some of that is really comes with age and it comes with, you know, experience and time in the business where you get to a certain point as an artist where, you know, you need to start reinventing yourself a little bit or stretching out a little because you're not, you know, you're not on the charts. You're not on, you know, you're not counting on the, you know, promoting and, you know, hoping and watching every single you put out and needing that single to become successful in order to move your career forward and stuff. So things, you start doing other things, right? And you start having to think, well, what else am I going to do? And I, you know, that's totally fair. Like, I know some people get, you know, really stressed or upset or for not getting airplay anymore and all that kind of stuff. And I'm, you know, talking with people from my generation that have done this, like I have their whole lives and everything. But you know what? You gotta make room for, you know, we were them. You gotta make room for young artists and stuff like that. I get that. The only time I've ever put out music, you know, later in my career is only if I feel like I've got something to offer, right? Like, you don't want to take up anybody's place, but if you think you've written a good song, like She'll Always Be Mine or you know, that kind of stuff, like, for me, it was, hey, you know, I think this is, I wrote a song called Wagoneer that I, you know, I thought was a really good, catchy, you know, really good song. So, you know, that's the only time you're going to do it. And think, you know, if you got something that you want to contribute to the market, and, you know, kind of really wasn't about staying, you know, relevant, because mm-hmm. you find that in touring, and you stay connected with your fans and you still perform and stuff. But, you know, the radio part of it is a whole different aspect, right?
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear that often from, you know, like people like Michelle Wright and Jamie Warren, mm-hmm. and, you know, they sure. all say that same thing, because they just do it because of the love of writing. It's got nothing to do with whether, you know, how the song's going to do on the radio. It's great if it does well, but at the same time, it's just, you know what?
Well, you can, you can get your music to your fans so many other ways now, right?
Than when so we started different.
So it's not about having a radio single, where it used to be all everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, I need a video on CMT, and I need to put out a single and work all the major market stations to get on and climb the charts. And that, I mean, it's like not even that at all now. So you can get your music out without being competitive that way, and having to approach those mediums, you know, and all that. So anyway,
I bet you you're enjoying this part of your career, you know, so much more, because when you're talking about when you did this in the 90s, when you first started out, and like you just said, everything that you had to accomplish, everything that you needed to focus on, it's so different today. And so many people don't enjoy what they're doing. It's a blur to them. Was it a blur to you?
Right. The like the height of my career, like the process getting, it really is, because I mean, I had some, I was fortunate to, you know, have a little bit of a different experience than others sometimes. Like I did, like I signed a major label deal, you know, in Nashville with Sony on Monument Records. And like, I was like 27 years old, and I was out on tour with the Dixie Chicks, and I was touring, you know, I was all over the U.S. and Canada and stuff. So, I mean, that was a whirlwind. That was like crazy, right? And
throwing
so, yeah,
right into the pan.
that stuff goes, and I honestly, like, it was so much so that, like, I didn't know, I was not prepared to be effective, like, to deal with it in the way that I know now, like, you know, that whole thing, like, oh, I wish I knew then what I know now and everything. But, yeah, because, you know, I was, like, kind of I was definitely more quiet and, you know, reserved. A lot of that is being Canadian, I think, but also naturally too, like just in my personality. And, you know, I needed to be someone who was more, you know, like
an extrovert.
I mean, use Jody Messina or Garth or somebody who's really, extroverted and really a presence to succeed in this market, you know. So you learned a lot and everything. But yeah, that, because of the, you know, I guess the opportunities that were presented to me in my career, and it was very quick, and it was very aggressive, and it was very stressful too, because everything, it seems like everything you did there had a purpose, you know. So like having a nomination, you know, it raises your value as a touring artist, it raises your, you know, career level and your profile and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's, and now it's not about that. Now it's just about, hey, just, I'm going to do a you know, show, and I'm going to have fun and play the songs that I've played in my career, and people, you know, still recognize them and stuff. And so that's it's more enjoyable for sure.
Nice place,
you know,
to be.
It's none of, it's none of that other stuff. It's really just, you pick and choose the shows you want to do, and how often you want to do it, and where you want to play. And and I think it's like that too with songwriting for me too. Like, you know, it's not, you know, because in those times that we were talking about, you know, I had publishing deals. And so when you have a publishing deal, you're expected to write professionally, like, for a purpose. You want to write songs, and you hope that, you know, somebody cuts your songs, and, you know, it's a business. And so, you know, I was writing songs, and I've had, you know, Tracy Byrd cut some of my songs, and I had Sammy Kershaw, and I had Gord Bamford, and I had other people cut my music, you know, but that's what I was trying to do. And you know, now, you know, write songs just for fun. You know, it's it's not the whole, you know, the reason for everything is different.
It's changed.
It's more probably is enjoyable. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a nice place to be. I've heard that from so many of the major, mm-hmm. you know, acts here in Canada yeah. that have been touring, and now they're down to, I think it's like 38 shows. They get to pick and choose and just,
yeah.
you know, play in the summer mm-hmm. and just do what they want to do because, and they enjoy their life because they're home more, you know, the stress yeah. level just isn't, you know, isn't there anymore. Like you're saying, it's just a completely different world, you know, today than when yeah. you started out, for sure. Absolutely.
I mean, that was, don't get me wrong, that fast paced stuff and all the experiences, like it was a lot of fun. Like I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed traveling. I enjoyed the opportunities that I had. I did some cool stuff. You know, I played mm-hmm. on the Opry, and I've done shows with Merle Haggard and Buck Owens, and like some really cool stuff.
Man.
That you know, it was great. Yeah,
you've had a fantastic. Really, you know, fantastic journey, and what you're doing now too is just like to have those stories. And I think that's what yeah. I talk about so often on the show, because when normally when I was doing my interviews, like I'm a creative like you, and yeah. if something stops and an obstacle is put in a way with life or whatever, I just, okay, mm-hmm. you know, I don't sweat it. I just figure, okay, yeah. this is what I gotta do now. And then I think of something else. And it kind of sounds yeah. like we're the same that way. And I'm more on the quieter side, which everybody keeps telling me to do radio. You need to be an extrovert. Mm. And I'm yeah. the opposite. So I think you and I mean, are similar that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. I'm happy with that. But it's been a funny, you know, like a lot of my friends who are in the business, you know, obviously are extroverted and really put themselves out there and stuff. And it's been, you know, there's been times where, you know, they would joke at me, and if I wasn't like included on something or asked to do something or whatever, it'd be like they would joke and say, "Well, you don't tell anybody everything you've accomplished. Nobody knows. Nobody knows all the things that you've done because you're not the guy that goes out there and talks about it, you know, and everything." It's
yeah.
true, you know, but
I hear you.
I don't know. That's who we are, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. it just depends, right? It's just like you're more comfortable in your skin doing it this way. And I know so many of the, yeah. you know, the artists that I've had, like Dean Dillon out there, you know,
yeah.
he would say to me, he just, yeah, he enjoyed playing and he still does, like you do, you know, playing for shows that he's chosen to do. But
sure.
he loves the songwriting aspect. And
yeah,
he just,
well, he's good at it.
Well, yeah, he is. He's yeah. very good. But just, you know, yeah. that's just something that he just felt that's where I needed to be, not the front man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he just loves his life now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a
well,
big
that's
difference.
Important. That's the most important. Yeah.
You got so many irons in the fire. It's not funny.
I don't know
how you keep it all straight.
Yeah. When you asked me to send you some talking points and stuff, and I wrote them down and sent them to you, I had to chuckle as I sent the email and I hit send because I knew you were gonna go like, "Oh my god!"
Like, no, you're like me.
I need a couple of days, a couple of interviews. Yeah, I know.
Okay, so let's hit the top one off the chart. Well, you already mentioned the Nashville Song Plugger because I was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your Music City Roland Jamboree.
I
love this. It's so cool.
Oh.
I was watching some of the videos yeah. for it too. So tell everybody about that.
Yeah. Well, again, the Music City Roland Jamboree is a. It's a sing-along comedy bus tour that goes around Music Row and areas of Nashville. It's founded by Jenny Carson, who is she's so funny and hysterically funny. And so she has been doing it 9 years, and so this show, my role in the show has really kind of grown. At first, it was just, you know, have somebody on there who can kind of play, you know, popular choruses of songs here and there throughout the tour and get everybody to sing along and that kind of a thing. But, you know, it's an adult show. And so she's pretty aggressive, and it's really, really funny, all the things that she says. And, you know, like when she's kind of talking to everybody that's on there. So I literally play the nice Canadian on board who kind of levels out everything that, that she does, which is really funny. And but again, like this is so
What the funniest thing about that gig for me is it's so unusual for someone like me to do it, you know, because it's a comedy, you know, it's out there. It's real kind of,
for me, she being, gives
like,
it all.
Talked about being more reserved. Yeah. Being more quiet and reserved. What do you do? Like, you're singing on this comedy bus. And I'm like, yeah, but I absolutely love it. You know, like it's a whole different thing, entertaining people to make them laugh. Mm-hmm. And this thing is 90 minutes, and I promise you, people laugh hysterically from the moment they get on till they get off. It doesn't stop. And well, it's
because she's not for the faint of heart at all.
No, no. Yeah, if you get offended easily, or if you're a sensitive person, you're not, or reserved, you're not going to want to get on there. But otherwise, you will have the time of your life. It is the number one rated thing to do in Nashville on TripAdvisor. Like, it's surpassed the Grand Ole Opry and everything else.
Oh, as a thing you're to do kidding!
It's absolutely insane. I just got back from doing one, and so I do this. I do this Tuesday to Saturday, and we do two shows a day, and they're early. Like, it's an 11:30 a.m. and a 1:30 p.m., so, you know, it's done by 3, and absolutely, like, having the
time
of my life doing that.
That is so fun. Yeah. I would love that. One of these days, I got to get back there. It's just been way too long. I would love to do that.
You got to come.
That's like hilarious.
When you come here, we're putting you on it. You're going to
I would enjoy that so much. Do people start drinking at 11?
Oh, yeah.
I figured as much.
Yep.
Stupid question.
Absolutely. It's 11:30 and they're walking on with their drinks. And, people are starting to have a good time.
You must see so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with the tourists. You must see so much.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the summer, too. Like, people get on there and are already half naked. And they're, like, you know, drinking. It's like... I don't know. You see a lot. for sure.
I guarantee
it. But it's fun.
Is it so different than the girls throwing stuff at you when you were on stage all the time in the beginning part of your career, right?
Yeah, nobody throws anything at me. That's good,
they don't throw it anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
No.
He's going, no,
kind of
Kim.
Funny. I think if, I don't know. I'm not gonna touch that one.
Oh, I was trying to pull it out of you. I was really trying to pull it out of you. He's going, nope.
I was just going to say that at my age now, that probably would be a different
I
type
bet.
Of yeah.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Yeah. I'm not going. Yeah.
Now, this show has been featured nationally on TV programs like the Good Morning America and the HGTV's Flip and Flop, and you guys have been doing so well with the show. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Well, I don't know if I even mentioned this, but the segue from that is that we're also now moving this show off of the tour bus and onto a stage. So we're going to have a residency show.
Is that where? I was going to ask you.
At the Troubadour. So at the Nashville Troubadour Dance Hall. It's going to be, it's going to be the Nashville Jubilee Country Music and Comedy Show. So we're, you know, it'll be a little different. This will be more of it'll be like a full band classic country show where I get to do what I do best and sing and really play some great classic country music. And Jenny will, you know, be, you know, incorporate a lot of the stuff she already does on the bus, basically just kind of, you know, warming up the crowd and all that. But throughout the show, tries to get involved more and more, and we'll be like wearing all kinds of costume changes.
So you're gonna do skits and stuff.
Really, really cool. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It'll be like, it's gonna be a variety show. It'll be awesome.
Oh, that's gonna be so cool. When is that supposed to start? When's that supposed to start?
Well, it's gonna start in September. We're right now just kind of, you know, we just did the deal with the venue, with the Troubadour, and it's amazing. They're renovating that whole place. It's got a huge stage and spotlights and production. Like, it's perfect for, and it's nowhere near Broadway, so it's over by the, you know, by Opryland and stuff like that. So it's near the palace.
That's awesome.
And different bars. Yeah, so it's perfect, and we're excited to be able to to do it there, and we're just rehearsing now. We're shooting the promo reels and everything for it right now, but it's going to be something that a lot of the tour buses coming to town are going to want to come and see, and we're going to grow it into something that's going to be like a thing to do again in Nashville, and we'll promote it with the tour bus. Yeah.
Are they still going to do like celebrity guest appearances? Like, cause you've had Reba on there, yeah. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's the thing with this show, being closer to the Opry and all that stuff, is that we're hoping, you know, that we'll be able to get people popping in from the Opry and you know, being on the show.
Oh,
too.
That's going to be fantastic.
If that happens, it'll be huge.
I'm just going to have to come down there and just park myself and just write.
Yeah.
I would have so much fun. That would be
so cool.
You're going
to need a week just to come see all the things that I'm doing.
I know. But that sounds like it's going to be a full-time job.
Yeah, that's going to be, so that's probably my, you know, long-term kind of goal, I think, you know, to have a regular show here just right in town. And, you know, I know what I do every Wednesday night. We go to the Troubadour, we do the Jubilee show, and just make that a, you know, well-known stop, you know, and really grow that into something, you know, popular. So, like, I'm looking forward to, you know, probably doing that full-time as we, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully become successful in launching it. Yeah.
That sounds so cool. I cannot wait. You're going to send me a reel, right? Like, as soon as you guys get the promotion done? Oh, perfect. I'll put that out in the magazine.
Yeah, sure.
I got to see that.
Yeah. Awesome.
And now, what is the most requested artist you've been asked to sing on the bus?
Oh, well, people sign up to ride the bus. It's part of their questionnaire, you know, like, where are you from? What are they? Who do you list? Who's your favorite country artist?
So you get that ahead of time.
We do, but we don't really do a request thing. So the show, that the bus thing is pretty set as far as what we do, because it's a show. So it's not really a request type of a thing. It's part of the tour. So, like, we'll go past, you know, like, you know, Dolly Parton's first apartment type of place where she wrote certain songs, and I'll sing them a little chorus from that. And then we'll go by Warner Brothers, and I'll do, you know, say this is, you know, where Blake Shelton's label is, and I'll do like a little Blake Shelton chorus, and people will sing along. So it's like kind of already set what we do in the show. The back half of it, after a break, we do take a break, and people get out and get drinks again and come back on. And so, yeah, and then we do, like, that's more of a sing-along type of thing, but I already know
what you're doing,
you know, what I'm going to play. Yeah, it's pretty important to keep control of these things.
You have to. I can imagine how that would get out of hand pretty easy if you didn't.
What's that?
I can see how that would get out of hand pretty easy if you didn't.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, that sounds like a highlight. I cannot wait for that one. That's going to be so good, really good. Congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you. I know. That's awesome. I mean, it was one of those things that just kind of, you don't plan for, and it was just like, okay, I get to do it. I'll try it out, and I just absolutely love doing it. Now it's evolving into a whole other thing too, two shows. So,
you know, they're going to plug you being Canada, like from Canada, right? In the comedy skit, you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You're going to win. Yeah.
Guarantee they will. You know that's coming. Yeah. You know, if I know Jenny well enough, oh yes. She's got the room.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay,
I don't know. There's so many crazy things that happen in the thing. Like, you know, like one of the things that we do on there is like, well, I'll sing a chorus to like Conway Twitty. You know, she'll say, oh, you know, Conway Twitty, and I'll do like Hello Darling and stuff. And so always target, you know, like an older lady or grandma or whatever, that kind of a thing. So,
that's what I mean.
She'll say, you know, yeah, and she'll say, you know, he's from Canada and he speaks French. Have you ever had a French Twitty? And then she'll like, no. And then she'll look over to you, and, you know, I'm sure some of you girls in New York had a French Twitty. And then she'll say, well, you know, it's just, it's crazy like that. Right? So I'll sing Hello Darling in French. And then, I mean, I can't even tell. You have to ride the bus. It's so much.
Okay, give us hello, darling, in French.
No.
Oh,
no,
come
no,
on. Come
you
on.
You have to come and ride the bus. But it starts off with Bonjour, City.
That's so cool. I could just see your face the first time you ever did that.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know. Probably still the same face I'm making every time I do it.
Yeah. Well, when you do, okay, so my only concern is, I'm going to say this right now, you better be coming back to, I know you're going to be really busy doing the show, you better be coming back and still doing your grand tour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
A couple more shows over there, and then I'm doing in my hometown, Sudbury and Valley East. They have Valley East Days on September 9th, so I'm going to be doing a show there, and so those are all going to be grand tour.
Very cool
show that I'm touring with.
Okay, see, yeah. I feel better now.
I'm not gonna give up that. Yeah.
Now,
don't want to get out and play those.
When you do Conway Twitty, you sound so much like him when you sing.
Thank you.
Really sound like him.
That, do you know, that wasn't my intention at all when I first started. This is weird because I mean, I always loved Conway. It was always my favorite singer, and I loved his music and stuff. And so, you know, the way I made a decision that I would do a tribute show, and you know, and it was risky to do a Conway Twitty show because, I mean, I thought to myself, not everybody's a big Conway fan like I am. It's not like an Elvis or a John. You know, more people know Johnny Cash. I wasn't sure that people would really, how many people would come to see a Conway Twitty tribute show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I took a chance because I loved it. I loved all his music. So it really, I went into the studio, I got the license to record five of his songs, and I went in and I recorded an EP of Conway songs. And it really wasn't until I went into the studio and started to sing and then went into the control room and listened back that I thought, gosh, that kind of sounds.
You do.
You know, it kind of sounds. Yeah, kind of sounds like Conway. A little bit. And so I still, at that moment, like if you listen to my five songs that I recorded, I didn't put it on like I could. Like I just, that wasn't my intention to really mimic. But when I do my, I learned that I really could kind of do a pretty close thing. You know, so I do it, you know, when I started doing the Conway shows, you know, live shows, then I would really milk that, and I really started to put it on to try to sound more and more like him. And then I realized that people were really, that's what they were talking about, and that's what they were enjoying, and they're like, oh, you gotta come see this, sounds just like Conway. And so that was working for me, and then it just became even more fun to sing them that way, because you know, it was like, I mean, Conway was a cool artist. I mean, he had that little growl in his voice, and he had,
well, the girls loved him.
So
the women,
all his songs are so what do you say, suggestive.
I was gonna say there's a very, very sexy, you know, artist, very, you know, for women. Yeah,
yeah, very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it is like a lot of fun to play that.
It must be so cool to get into different,
so
like to get into somebody else's shoes, right? And to perform.
I mean, who gets to go out for 90 minutes and be Conway Twitty? I mean, that's way more fun than Gil Grand show. I mean,
come on. I can't say that.
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you're saying. Because you play George Jones, Merle Haggard, you do Ray
tour.
Price, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
You do a lot of the country legends.
Yeah, that's, I love that show. I love the Grand Tour.
Yeah, you can't give that up.
That's classic. Yeah, I mean, I just picked a lot of my favorite, you know, favorite songs. And it, I don't know. I think you got to just keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you can't forget that music. I mean, if we're not going to do it, you know, where are people going to hear that anymore? And fortunately, you know, I mean, I can say when I do shows and you know, and we get 300 or 400 people in the theater that come to listen to that music, that says a lot. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Hey, there's still people that want to hear this.
You know what I love doing what I'm doing now, and I just mentioned this, you know, earlier there, you know, doing this part of the show and not having to just do the radio stuff, because it's a quick minute, you know, blurb that you're doing for, you know, when's the new single dropping, blah, blah, blah. I get to go in to a lot more detail like we are here, which is a lot more fun for me. So that has been very cool. But I get a chance to be able to talk to some of these young artists that are so influenced by the classic country. And, you know, it's it's kind of cool to see that starting to come into the new music right now.
That's good to know. I wondered about that, and I wasn't too sure what that new, you know, that new generation of artists that are out there, really, if they have any inclination on who, you know, is like a legend, is a classic artist to them, Garth Brooks, you know, like, is that how far they're, you know,
well, George Jones, Merle Haggard's always, you know, people that they talk about, you know, Travis Tritt, you know, that kind of thing. But it's just, you know, I'm really excited about that, because, but they do put a modern, you know, they're modernizing it for sure. Right. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
I know Corey Marks, you know, like
very well,
you know, like I've got to meet him and I've got to hang with him and jam.
He's a Merle guy.
I mean, that dude. Yeah. I mean, anything like that, Merle and Travis Tritt, all that. I mean, you know, he knows that stuff, loves that stuff. And I think that's, you know, that's encouraging to me to know that these younger artists are at least
George
aware,
Jones. Yeah. Know? Cause that's how I met Corey with the Havelock stage when he first started out, and Merle Haggard was what he was singing, and he can do it really, really well. I remember, I think the last time I talked to you, you had your parents go to their very first concert to Conway Twitty, I think.
Yeah.
Is that
my
right?
My grandmother.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to remember. I remember having that conversation with you. Yeah.
It was my mom and dad and my grandmother who was a giant, big Conway fan. And I got tickets for everybody, and we were in the front row when he came out at the Sudbury Arena. And my grandmother, I mean, I've never seen anybody, like, literally jaw hit a floor, but hers did when he walked out and went, hello, darling. It was worth, I mean, I spent more time watching my grandmother than Conway in that concert, just because this, the expressions and the joy and the, it was part of why I wanted to do what I do too with that tribute show. So,
well, there was a couple songs too that were recorded here in Hamilton, like in the Hamilton area.
Yeah.
I think, was it?
Only Make Believe it was written there.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to, you know, when you're doing this for so long, you're trying to remember everything. What is your favorite song of his?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, I love so many of his songs. I think my favorite one to sing is Don't Take It Away.
Oh,
I like, you know, I mean, who gets to talk in verses anymore? You know, like, when he's like, I've been looking for you all night long, darling. You know, you get to do that stuff, and it's like, what? I never did that in my music. So
that's awesome. He had a way about him. He could do the slow ballads, but then he could deliver a fun song. And, you know,
well,
there wasn't too many artists like him.
Mm-hmm. No. One of the things I got to do as part of my show that I do is I recorded and interviewed many people that knew Conway, his record label, some of the musicians that played with him, management, different people. I wanted to know stories so that I could tell them when I did the show, right? And so I got to hear a lot of stuff about him and Ronnie McDowell, they were really, really close, him and Conway, and Conway was always kind of he's a song guy, and he was, you know, Ronnie McDowell would always run it by Conway on something he was going to record, whatever, to get his opinion on it or whatever. And, you know, the cool stuff like that, you know, like,
that's so cool.
You know, just, and so, you know, what I thought the most interesting thing about Conway that I learned was how how Conway, you know, his name's Harold Jenkins. So I mean, Conway Twitty was an artist to him. Mm-hmm. it was a business, right? It was a character, for lack of a better term. But I mean, so he would literally, you know, if he heard a song, like, he would say, that's a good song for Conway.
Oh, did he really? You know, he talked in third party.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so he did that way before Garth did. But I mean, it was like, it was just like, he would like literally treat, that's a Conway thing. Hey, that'd be just be a Conway thing or whatever. And I thought that was so interesting.
So cool.
For you to be able to step out and look at it from that perspective and say, you're like a marketing a product,
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
That's really interesting. I remember when I had Dean Dillon on and we were talking about a lot of the songs that he wrote, for George. Mm-hmm. And just listening to his stories and how they first met and, how George would say whether he, the camaraderie between the two of them when they first met to whether or not they would even record together or, he would, how he would pass by, certain songs. And, the way he tells the stories are so funny. They are just so funny.
Yeah.
Lots of history, boy. You've sat in the room with an awful lot of them.
He was fortunate enough to, a lot of his cuts became, he got on at the studio when he was recording. he was able to walk in when they were tracking and say, "I wrote this song, check it out." And then, everybody is excited when they first hear a thing. A lot of his songs got cut, on the spot, from being able to do that. I mean, he earned that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, that was pretty, pretty interesting. I thought he could do that too. And, what a career.
Wow. I'm telling you. And he's still going, and his kids too have such amazing careers as well. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool.
For sure.
Is there a song that stands out to you personally that you really connected with that made you want to take pen to paper or pursue the music?
Not that that was an influence. It wasn't a song as much as it was, like a singer, like Conway, or of course, George Strait was a big influence for me too at that time. In the 80s when I was trying to, I think 81 was his first hit with Full Hearted Memory, and that's when George Strait took off in 81. So by the late 85, and the late 80s was kind of when I was kind of getting into learning and doing what I was going to do. So he was right there. And so that was a big influence. And I was always always somebody who gravitated towards good singers.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely that's what appealed to me. And I think that's since we're doing, now and then kind of thing, that's changed in me too, because I feel like when I was younger and I was being a singer or going to be a singer or just getting to love music, I definitely was a singer. So I would gravitate towards who I thought could really, really sing a great, great vocals and stuff like that. But it allowed me, I think, to miss out on great songs and great songwriters who are more stylists and not, in my opinion, considered great vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't pay attention as much to something like that. And, Kris Kristofferson is a great example. Singing ability. Obviously he's an incredible songwriter. And for me, and people will, disagree who are big Willie Nelson fans, but in my opinion, as a singer, not my favorite singer, but gosh, what a great songwriter. And you can just listen. I just listen to,
he's got a staple. He's got like a real staple in country music.
Exactly.
Definitely. There's so many, so many of them that people just don't really realize where the history became from and where the music started to change, because it changed a lot for you, the 90s was a big change in country music. Right?
Oh, yeah.
When you started out.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
I stayed pretty traditional. That was, at least for me, people knew my music. It has a certain sound. I was definitely a traditional, artist. And, I found out, and I didn't even know I had this, but I knew, after a while, certain people were able to recognize songs that I wrote. And they were like, I guess.
You can tell.
yeah, that other people recorded and said, oh, I knew you wrote that, or, you know, like they could tell it was something that
that's
I wrote.
Cool.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really consider that, you know.
That's really cool. You know, I guarantee like there's a lot of people that didn't even know the songs, you know, that you've written.
Yeah. Like, I wrote a song called Hurting Me Back for Gord Bamford.
Oh, I remember that.
And yeah, and people, that's one that people said, man, I knew that something you wrote in the, and it was a song I wrote for Shane Yellowbird.
Oh man, what an incredible artist we lost there.
I can help you with that, and that he recorded, and that too is like stylistically, people were like, oh, I knew, yeah, that was something you had written or something like that. So yeah, it was very sad.
Oh man,
about Shane, because he and I had written together, and we, you know, he was a good dude. He really was. I don't know.
Yeah. We miss him, because that was just a huge loss, because I remember meeting him at Canadian Music Week. I think it was like 2007 or 2008, and talking to him for the longest time, and just such an amazing soul, just an incredible talent.
Mm-hmm. I didn't, I don't know if you're aware of this, but he posted something, it was a picture that he drew, and he had drawn a picture of some of his favorite artists, and there was he drew me, like, it's like a little, you know, some of those pictures where it's like a collage of faces and stuff. So he drew my picture, and he drew Dwayne Steele, and he drew Jake, my brother, and he drew,
oh, I didn't know that.
And he drew who else was there? A couple of other, Aaron Pritchett, and
are you serious?
Johnner, Brad Johnner. So all of us in this picture, so I'm going to be going up to Alberta here next week, and I'm going to get to sign it. Jake has his signature. I'm going to sign it, and I think Dwayne's doing a George Jones thing. While I'm up there, so he's going to sign it. But so it's cool, you know, to know that I was kind of an influence to him, you know, and it was like,
that's pretty special. Wow.
It was special, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, so sad that he's not here anymore.
Man, oh man, I'm telling you. We've lost a lot, you know. Like, I just did a special show not even 2 days ago. And it's a lot. I think it's three this week that I've done.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just talking about the history, like, once the band members were able to come on and talk about it, like the East Pointers losing their artists too. So it's just like, it's incredible, you know, when you're looking back at how many people we're losing, you know, in this industry.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. That's why we did that show 2 days ago, to talk about mental illness. And I specifically wanted to use this platform so that we can talk about what artists go through, and talk about the pressures that artists go through.
Yep.
And making sure that there's something available before, you know, it's too late, because these younger artists just take off and just want the tour bus, and they want everything now, and they just don't realize you've got to set yourself up for this the right way. And you were talking about that earlier, how much pressure that was, you know, for you, because got thrown into the fire, like, right off the bat, and that had to have been overwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I went from going, I literally got on a plane my first time, and I flew on my first time flying anywhere was from Sudbury Airport to Toronto into Nashville. And then, you know, next thing I knew, I was on a tour bus with, you know, six guys from Texas in their underwear chewing tobacco. I was like, what? So, like, this is like, I was a Tracy Bird fan, and I was touring, you know, is this the weirdest, you know? It's like, you know, it's like you're thrown into these things that is not,
you're not prepared for it. You're not even ready for it.
Well, nobody could have been prepared for that.
Oh man. Well, let's talk about the one song for you that started this whole thing, because your career started in the 90s. We're going to talk about Famous First Words. Do you remember what it felt like to be able to, because you started out singing talent shows, right? From what I remember.
Yeah.
And then having that song hit the radio for the very first time, do you remember what it felt like?
Yeah, I know exactly. I remember when it happened. Like, I remember hearing it, and it was one of those things where
you know, the radio station was the Sudbury Country Station at the time with CIGM. And, you know, I remember the guys on the air kind of doing, you know, how they would set up the next three, you know, you're coming up as this, this, and this. And there's a brand new song from a Sudbury artist, and I knew my song was coming on. And so I had never heard it on the radio. So I'd waited for that time. And so, like, I had always pictured, I don't know, you know, you kind of picture that sort of thing. And I like pictured, I don't know why, but I always felt like I was going to be in the car driving and turning up the radio when my song would come on the radio. So I knew I had two songs to hurry up, get the keys, get in the car and drive and take off. And I rolled that windows down and my song came on the radio and I cranked it up and I listened to it for the first time driving down the road, just like I had always imagined it would happen. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
That is so cool. Now that song highlighted on CMT as well and did so well for you, that first single. What was it like working with Byron?
Oh, Byron was awesome. I mean, he's one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. And he just totally took me under his wing and was instrumental in, you know, not only, I mean, he was instrumental in getting me a record deal. He was instrumental in producing and co-writing and, you know, my first album and, you know, just a super talent. I mean, he had done, you know, Kathy Mattea before that, and Gary Allen before that, and had some success. And, you know, he was a great songwriter and still is, but it was nice to work with him. And you know, he's very much responsible for a lot of, you know, my success, my career taking off. Like, he was right there with me.
Incredible producer.
Yeah.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is the famous first words by multi-award-winning country artist Gil Grand here on Music's Journey.
Somewhere before, don't I know you? Famous first words. I sure like that dress, matches your eyes. How about a drink? Where are you from? Sure, I've been there. Famous first words. The last thing on my mind when I saw you. Falling in love from the first kiss. Never thought that would turn into this. I said, how about a dance? First you said no, then you said yes. We never looked back. You're still in my arms. Famous first words. The time go, girl, ain't life good? We owe it all to a little hello. Famous first words. Just look at us now. Where'd the time go? Girl, ain't life good? We owe it all to a little hello. Famous first words. Famous first words.
That was Famous First Words, the song that started it all in 1997, the signature song that fans remember so well. Songs that we're singing today, it's just that country classic that we just have in our blood. What has been the best advice that you've been given by one of your heroes?
You're going to love it. I was at Fanfare, my very first Fanfare. I just signed a record deal. Nobody knew who I was. And so if anyone, just to kind of set it up, one of the things that happens at Fanfare in Nashville is that they'll put artists in these booths, and then all the media people, you know, radio stations and what have you, they'll get in line and they'll come and they'll have that opportunity to get liners and interviews and meet artists and stuff. And so I was in my booth and nobody was in my line because nobody, I hadn't even come out with my first single yet or nothing. I was just this brand new artist. But beside me on my left was Alan Jackson.
Oh,
and
wow.
To my right was Garth Brooks. And, his, and you can imagine, like, both those lines were gigantic, right? And long and everything. And so Garth came over to my booth and you know, like he is, introduced himself like you know, like I didn't know who he was, and like he was like the nicest guy, and
you didn't know who he was?
Of course I knew who he was, but he acted like, you know, he was just like I didn't know who he was, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
He's always Mr. Humble and, you know, Mr. like, hey, I'm Garth Brooks. I'm like, yeah, I know. And like, so, but anyways, he was super nice, and he was like congratulating me for being, you know, and he did it because he knew I was standing in a booth with nobody in line to talk to me or anything like that.
Oh, that is
how
so
he is.
Cool.
So he come over to my booth and he signed my napkin there. I had a napkin that was half wet from my water bottle, and he just signed that for me and everything. And then he said to me, you know, I asked him, I said, do you have any advice for me and everything like that? And he said, he says, only record songs you're prepared to sing for the next 20-30 years of your life. And so and that's what he, because you never know what's going to be a hit, mm-hmm. or, you know, what. So it's like, record songs you love, make sure anything you record that, you know, you're going to be prepared to sing it, you know, millions of times for years and years and years and years. And that
so
was his
true.
Advice to me, which I thought. And then he said, you know, kick ass. And that was it. Walked away.
That is so cool. Yeah. What great memories.
Pretty good person to get advice from.
I think so. Doesn't get any better than that, right? Let's talk about another one. Like Burton Cummings. I love Burton Cummings. Always have. He's been one of my favorites. But man, you picked a good one to do a cover for.
Mm-hmm.
Break it to them gently. And I'm telling you, it is one that gives me goosebumps. I could listen to you sing that song over and over again. It is such a good song done by you. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I love that song, right? And it's funny because, I mean, a couple of fun facts about that song. Like the reason I recorded it was because when I was learning to play at home and everything, like it was, my dad had bought a Yamaha guitar, and then two or three of my uncles went out and bought guitars, and there was this fad thing that was going on at our house. And everybody on Sundays would get together, my dad and my uncles, and they would sing a couple of songs that none of them knew how to play. They were just all learning to do this at the same time. And so one of my uncles, Brian, it's the only song he learned. He kept singing that song, and I was like, man, I love that song. And so I learned it. I learned it initially not from Burton Cummings, but from hearing him sing that song. And so that's why you know, I was 14 or something. I was just like learning how to sing this song, and I loved it. And then, you know, fast forward, I ended up recording that song, and it was the only cover that I
think
ever
it
did.
Is and, the only cover you did, right?
Yeah. And so I recorded it, and you know what? Another fun fact about it is that, you know, it did, that song was, you know, doing really well. That radio and everything was climbing the chart. And I remember it goes all the way up to number 11 on the chart, and we were trying to get a top 10 single. And so it was at 11 for a week, and then it was next week it was still at 11, and then the next week it was still at 11. It wasn't going into the top 10, and we started looking at what was, you know, who's playing and all this, you know, who's spinning and all that kind of stuff. And it was like the one station that we needed to kind of push it over the edge and everything was the Winnipeg
oh the no
Winnipeg
way
station where he's from, right? And so,
oh wow,
literally had to call, you know, call and have a conversation. I told them, hey, I'm a huge fan. You know, I'm doing this out of respect and just kind of, you know, I love this song and Burnt Coming. I wasn't trying to make, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't supposed to be a bad thing. It was supposed to be a, you know, a good thing.
They wanted to be loyal.
If anybody was going
to
play that song, it was going to be Winnipeg, you know, because it's from there. But, you know, after that and a little bit of discussions and stuff like that, then they jumped on it and they, you know, supported it. And I think it eventually went to 7 on the chart is where it landed. But so I did
love
get their
it.
Support, but I
love
thought
it,
that was interesting.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. You'd think, yeah, cause they're trying to be loyal, right? Nobody's going to cover this the same as
well, yeah.
Cummings is going to do it. Yeah.
No, exactly.
I loved it. And I loved the video too. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the cover Break It To Them Gently by Grammy Award winning artist Gil Grand here on Music's Journey.
Break it to them gently when you tell my mom and dad. When you see my baby sister, be as kind as you can. Break it to my grandma, who said the boy's wild and bad. Break it to them gently when you tell them that I won't be coming home again. 'Cause I'm running with a gun and it isn't any fun as a fugitive. Fighting for my life and I don't know if I'll make it alone. Running with a gun and it isn't any fun as a fugitive. God, I wanna go home. Lord, I wish I was home. When you see my lady with the twinkle in her eye, tell it to her softly and hold her if she cries. Tell her that I love her and I will till the day I die. Break it to her gently when you tell her that I won't be coming home again. And you tell my mom and dad, thank them for the good years and all the loving that I had. Break it to my grandma, who said that boy's wild and bad. Break it to them gently when you tell them that I won't be coming home again. 'Cause I'm running with a gun and it isn't any fun as a fugitive. Yeah, I'm fighting for my life and I don't know if I'll make it alone. I'm running with a gun and it isn't any fun as a fugitive. God, I wanna go home. God, I wish I was home. Break it to them gently. Really try to roll up. You gotta break it to them gently. You gotta really try to soothe them. You gotta really try to roll up. Yeah. Gotta break it to you.
That was Break It to Them Gently by Grammy Award-winning country star Gil Grand, my favorite cover. It hit so many marks for me and so many other people in radio too. Same thing, you know, to hear a cover like that done, you know, of a classic rock song, you know, it really pushed that trend, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah. And I feel like we didn't really stray too far away from the original version, you know, like if anything, that version, that song from an artist that's not a country artist was pretty, you know, it was pretty country.
Exactly.
You know, so it was kind of,
it was really cool.
It worked. Cool.
Did it well, my friend. You did it well.
Thank you.
Now we got to talk about another one that we're going to be playing here. And that's another one of my favorites. And that is She'll Always Be Mine.
Yeah. Thank you. Well,
tell us that story.
So that song, you know, is, you know, the one song where I really kind of changed my writing direction. And I dug deep, and I wrote a song that was for specifically for my daughter's wedding. And so Candace was going to be getting married and asked me if I would write her a song for her wedding. And so no small feat. And so like, I said, yeah, of course I will do that. It was hard. You know, I really want to write a great song. And so I asked my good friend, Jeffrey East, who I've written several songs with, who's a mega talented songwriter, real clever. He's just one of those guys who it just kind of pours out of him. You know, he's just got great, just songwriting
his instinct.
Ability.
Yeah,
so we got together. We wrote that song, and then you know what's interesting about that is that I then asked Byron Hill to produce it with me, and We hadn't worked together since Famous First Word.
Yeah, like that's so cool. You know,
in 97. So we kind of came full circle, and that was when I asked him, I said, hey, you want to do this with me and produce this? And so we did it. And that's kind of the background on that story, yeah.
So cool. One of my favorites. I love it. And it's still going today. Still going today.
Oh, yeah.
So many people love it. Oh, do you play it? You better.
I do. So, yeah, I do. Like on the bus, every time we do a break, when we come back and people sit back down, Jenny features me and says, you know, this is Gil, you know, whatever, he's, you know, real songwriter. She lets me do a song, a whole song that's going to be, you know, just something I want to play. So I always tell that little story and I play that song and it really connects with everybody, especially the ones that had a lot to drink. Because I mean, they can become emotional and start sobbing. It's good for tips.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, for all the dads and daughters out there, we're going to play this one right now. Here is She'll Always Be Mine by Canadian country star Gil Grand here on Music's Journey.
I guess today's the day. I know your love for her runs deep, but I need you to understand one thing. You can keep her safe, you can hold her hand, you can be her strength. Thank you.
You can keep her safe. You can hold her hand. You can be her strength. You can be her man. You can hold her dreams. You can hold her tight. You can have her. Just remember, she'll always be mine. You can keep her safe. You can hold her hand. You can be her strength.
That was She'll Always Be Mine by my very special guest, Gil Grand, here on Music's Journey. Love this song, and it's just such a great song, especially with Father's Day, right?
Yeah.
That just passed. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those songs that, fortunately, you know, other people use it for their father-daughter dances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been received by a lot of people who you know, wanted it for their own weddings, you know, and their own daughter's weddings and stuff. So that's kind of cool.
That's going to be nice too, because when you look at generations down the line, a song that meant so much to a mother,
yeah,
you know, well, your daughter now, when she has children, then mm-hmm. to turn around and have her kids remember that song.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes from generation to generation. It's really cool.
Yeah. I know. I think that's another beautiful thing about music that maybe not a lot of people love, but it's, as an artist, I've always thought about that. I've always thought that, you know what, it's kind of nice to be able to leave something behind that my grandkids and their kids and their kids really, you know, like, will get to hear my voice, get to hear me and hear my music and stuff. You know, music lives on forever, so it's pretty amazing to be able to do that.
Yeah, I love when you look at the history of songs that meant so much mm-hmm. to me. And you know, when I think about my parents, and I don't know, there's just so many that stick with me that my son hears me play mm-hmm. and they can make me tear up just the same as they did way back then. They're kind of cool. Now, your brother, let's talk about your brother for a minute, for Jake Matthews.
If we have to.
I know, I'm telling you.
No, I'm kidding.
You guys did a special gig yourselves in 2006, I think it was, for Raise the Roof Tour. Mm. That's kind of cool to be able to do that with your brother.
Well, yeah, that was, again, it's like, you know, one of those things where we both had our own careers, and throughout our careers, many people have asked, hey, why don't you guys ever do something together? You know, mm-hmm. you're both, you know, singers, and you're both in country singers. You're both in the business. Why don't you do something together? And so that was the perfect opportunity. You know, is we had an opportunity for Ronald McDonald House Charities to raise awareness and raise money for them, and we toured 30 plus shows, I think it was, and 30 different cities, and went and visited Ronald McDonald House and we raised a bunch of money for that charity, which is an incredible charity. And mm-hmm. You know, so that felt good. It was just a
special moment.
It was special in to do a tour for that purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, and
especially
we had families come on at every show that, you know, had that used the services of Ronald McDonald House when their kids were sick and got to stay there, and they shared their stories with the audience, and it was just a feel good thing, you know, just to get to visit those places and meet the families, and yeah, they're great. I'm proud of that whole tour.
Oh yeah, definitely. Little snippets of time, right? And sometimes it just takes it takes people like us just reminding you of all the stuff you've done. And I'm just, I could spend days talking about the stuff that you've done. Lots and lots. You're a busy guy. Okay, what about that story with your dad? It's coming to my, I think the last time I talked to you, you were telling me a story about your dad working in the store when you and Jake.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
About when me and Jake and my dad. Oh, yeah, yes, yes. So you're. Yeah, this is funny. I mean, so my dad, he used to work at a furniture store in Sudbury, you know, it was called Leon's. And so he was selling, you know, in the furniture department. He's like in the televisions and stuff. And so there was a couple that came up to him one day. And my dad, you know, he always kept the TVs on CMT because, you know, I was having singles and stuff like that, so you know he'd like to watch and stuff. So there's a couple that he was showing a television to one day, and then my video came on. He said, "Hey, that's my son, Gil." And they're like, "No, no way!" And he's like, "Yeah, it's my son." They're like, "That's incredible, you know, congratulations!" And they're watching my video and everything. They thought that was the coolest thing and all that stuff. And then just immediately after my video stopped, Jake's video came on. He went, "Hey." That's my son Jake. And they're like, "You're full of crap." And they're like, they thought that now you're just lying and whatever. And he walked away. And
he lost the sale, didn't he, or something?
Yeah, he lost his sale over it because they're like, "Yeah, right now you're just full of it."
Man.
But it was like our videos came on back to back. That's so awesome.
I loved that story. I think when you told me that the first time, that was so funny. Listen, the poor guy lost the sale. He should have got the sale. He lost the sale.
He was telling the truth. But, I mean, it was like, I mean, how unlikely, right? It was like, yeah, right.
Oh, man.
They bought it the first time, but then not when Jake's video came on. They're like, "Okay, yeah, right."
You're gone too far now. we were believing you, but then you went too far. Yeah, might be the last name thing too. You know, you just never know.
Well, yeah, the names were different.
Yeah, that would have been what they were gravitating to, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Too funny. Now, let's talk about your brand new single, "Centered." This is such a cool song. Tell us about the writing of this one.
Well, it's funny that it's brand new because it's not a new song, you know. So obviously, this is something Sean Hogan had written years ago, and it was back when I had a studio in Nashville, and he'd come to town, and we worked on this song together. And just recently, he said, "Hey, you know, I'm going through some archives, or I'm going through some songs and everything, and you know, remember this song?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And so he, you know, played it for me, and you know, we thought, well, this is really cool. And so he wanted to. Asked if it was cool, we should do something with it. And so we, you know, he added some instrumentation, and we, you know, kind of beefed it up, and we mixed it, mastered it, and kind of repackaged the song, and decided to release it. So he's really kind of taken hold of it and is doing it, you know, kind of running with it and everything. And so I thought that was really cool that he, you know, wanted to do something and liked my vocal on it enough to want to release it. And then, you know, it's kind of sounds like something I normally would do. So
brings that classic classic country in there. We love it. We're going to play it right now. Here is "Centered" by Grammy award-winning country artist Gil Grand here on Music's Journey.
I was feeling uneven, set to go right off the deep end again. Everybody telling me slow down and learn just when to say when. My on and off relationship was all but sinking out at sea. Yeah, life was unbalanced and as always I couldn't find any harmony. Now I'm centered, smack dab down the middle. Not too much or too little. Centered in a love for you. Well, I'm centered. In focus for the long run, holding back nothing for no one, centered in a love so true.
never been the kind of guy to buy into much philosophy. Here, meditate, moderate, much less hesitate. It's all nearly lost on me. I used to drive too fast, and then I hate to wait in line. But ever since the day we met, you bet, honey, all I've got is time. Now I'm center, smacked out down the middle. Not too much or too little, center in a love for you. Oh, I'm center, in focus for the long run. Holding back nothing for no one, center in a love so true.
That's the brand new single, Centered, by my very special guest, country star Gil Grand. What a great song. Don't forget you can download Centered on all your streaming platforms. You can share it on your playlist and you can request it at your local country radio station. Such a great song. And Mr. Sean Hogan, good friend of mine. Love him dearly.
Yeah.
He is just such a cool guy. Yeah. Great artist. Great songwriter as well. You are launching.
He's a great dude.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So you got your Nashville Jubilee. That's going to be starting in September, you said. Is tickets available now for purchase for fans or a little
not
bit later?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah, not quite yet. Yeah, we're just kind of working on that right now and just kind of, we have the dates already. So it's going to be like every Wednesday night and stuff like that. So, but we haven't put them up for sale quite yet because we're still putting the promo together.
Okay. And now the grand tour. I just want to make sure because you got different pages. So I want the fans to know where they can go because you got some Canadian mm-hmm. dates coming up. So that where are they going for that? Just the grand tour?
I guess I don't have my dates posted because they're not. I mean, I've just been kind of doing a post here and there whenever I do have a show. So I don't really, I guess, I mean, the Jubilee thing and all that stuff, that will be, you know, we're going to obviously have that and promote it and all that stuff. But the shows that I'm doing coming up, like the Valley East Days and all that stuff, I guess I don't really have them.
So maybe Instagram would be the
anywhere.
Best place for everybody?
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
They can kind of check those places out. They'll see what's happening.
And keep tabs. Okay, so we got one more amazing thing that we have to talk about here, and that's the Canadian Music Tour. Man, you've got some amazing Opry legends that are going to be on that show. Tell us about that.
Isn't that amazing? That's like that.
The names so on that. So cool.
They're all my friends.
Randy, yeah, no, come on. I'd love to sit 2 minutes in the room with Randy for a while. Yeah.
Well, I hope I get the opportunity too. I mean, I'll have him on a boat, so we'll try to lock him down somewhere. But it was, you know, just fortunate to be able to be invited to be a part of it. And again, that's all because of the Conway show and the
See?
Grand Tour stuff, because I'm doing a traditional, yeah, I'm doing that traditional country music stuff. And so the country music tour is something, or cruise, I'm sorry, is something that they have done, you know, annually. I don't know how many they've done, but so it's something that they've done before. And, you know, so I'm fortunate to be asked to be a part of it. You know, this,
so cool.
It'll be in January, but, you know,
still,
it's going to be
a lot of people
amazing
book now.
Lineup and
yeah.
Yeah, oh, you have to. It's actually, I think, 80% sold already.
Is it 80% sold already? Wow.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, it always sells out, and it's going to be sold out. So it's, for sure, yeah. And I'm trying to post. I'm going to probably do more here in a little bit, like, shortly and try to get it you know, promote it some more to see if people, you know.
I'll put it up on the magazine page as well, so people can look at it.
Because, I mean, gosh, the lineup, there's over 100 performances, I think, in total over the cruise. You know, it's just everybody's performing.
Mark Chestnut, you got Randy Owen. Name some of the other ones that you've got, because it's an incredible list of artists.
Oh, yeah, the Oak Ridge Boys, and there's Mark Chestnut. There's going to be Clay Walker. There's going to be Randy.
Randy Owen
from Alabama. Randy Owen. There's going to be. I don't have that list in front of me, but gosh, it goes on and on and on. There's going to be, you know, Johnny.
I'm trying to remember Johnny? Now too, because there's so many. There's so many. Because when I was looking at it, I was like, "Holy cow!" Yeah. Like, there's like incredible artists that are going to be on this particular cruise. Well, I'll make sure that the fans can, you know, that are listening here can check it out on the article that we're going to be posting with this interview, and that'll be there for them to be able to check it out and make sure they get their tickets. Only 20% left, so pretty cool. So can't wait to see you.
If they use the promo code GilGrandFan. They get discounts and they get some other free stuff and everything. So, well, that's kind of cool.
Gil Grant's going to come up and say, "Hello, darling."
Yeah, bonjour, chérie.
That's right.
It's a French word too, maybe.
It is so great to have you on the show and to catch up and to be able to talk to you again. So I can't wait to have you back. We're going to have to do a show that's just straight stories.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
This was fun. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. It's great. And thank you so much for giving us so much music. Man, I'm telling you, you are a Canadian treasure and we love you to death.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you so much. And appreciate it. Let's do it again.
All righty. Sounds great. You have a wonderful evening, okay?
Okay. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country star Gil Grand, for coming on the show. I've got some amazing artists that I'm going to be interviewing this month. I'll be chatting with Katie Hurt, Emma Peterson, Quentin Blair, Kelly Prescott, rock band Taming Sari, Matt Rogers, Petrick, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, rock band Weapons, Australian trio The Buckleys, The Prairie State, Emerson Drive, Ali Walker, Simone Fuller, Tyler Joe Miller, Dustin Bird, Kadu, and so many more. Don't forget you can check out all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
It ain't just in the cities, it's in the small towns too. People living on the streets, right in front of me and you. Sleeping in cardboard houses, or on the bench in the park. And I can't help but wonder who they really are. Somebody's father, somebody's mom, somewhere out there with nowhere to call home. Somebody's brother, somebody's sister, daughter or son. Somebody's someone. Maddie stands on the corner, down the street from my block. Some days I share a dollar, and some days we talk. She tells me all about her friends who weren't always down on luck, and how they got to where they are today. Well, they are so different than us. Somebody's father, somebody's mom, somewhere out there with nowhere to call home. somebody's sister, daughter, or son. Somebody's someone. I love, and if one of them should fall, would anybody care enough? Hey, aren't we all somebody's father, somebody's mom, somewhere out there with nowhere to call home? Somebody's brother, somebody's sister, daughter, or son. Somebody is someone. If you're ever in doubt, if it plays on your mind, if you question at all, what's in this heart of mine? More than touching this way, more than my words can say, the answer is in my eyes. Look at me, look at you. That should be all the proof that you need. Girl, it's here in plain view. It's the love from my heart that you see. Undeniably true. Look at me, look at you. It's a natural thing that I don't have to try. It's so easy to do. It's a look I can't hide. And it's all 'cause of you that my love will shine through. So anytime that you want to know, look at me, look at you. That should be all the proof that you need. Girl, it's here in plain view. It's the love from my heart that you see. Undeniably true. Look at me, look at you. More than touching this way, more than my words can say, the answer is in my eyes. Look at me, look at you. That should be all the proof that you need. Girl, it's here in plain view. It's the love from my heart that you see. Undeniably true. Look at me, look at you. Look at me, look at you.